Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 4. We'll begin reading verse number 5, and I've got a whole series out of this scripture. I may preach another sermon tonight out of this same scripture, but John chapter 4, verse number 5. And if you'd be so kind, if you'll stand for the reading of the first three verses, I'll let you sit down. And then I'll read the rest of the text for this morning. But I like doing that in reverence of God's Word. Amen. The Bible said, "Then cometh he," and that's Jesus, by the way, "then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat." Now that's the first four verses, and I'll read down through verse number 15 in a minute. But let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning, and I do thank you for everybody that's here. And Lord, I don't know anybody's heart. Lord, I don't know what their condition is. But Lord, you do. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray, dear Lord, this morning would be the morning that you save them. I pray, God, that you'll give them liberty, give them an interest and desire to be saved this early in the service. Lord, I pray you be with anybody that might be backslid. They know you as Savior, but they're not doing what they need to be doing, and they know it. Lord, I don't ask you to be mean to them. I just ask you, God, to wrap your ever-loving arms around them. And I pray, God, that you'll draw them back to where they need to be. Then, dear Lord, for the folks who are trying to serve you, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us. Help, Lord, we need your help this morning. God, I need your help. I do not want to be a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. God, I want to be something that's filled with your power. Lord, I pray that you'll use the Word of God that we preach this morning to speak to hearts. I pray, God, that you be with this church, be with this revival, be, Lord, with the senior luncheon, everything going on this week. Lord, give this pastor wisdom. Lord, thank you so much for Miss Salou being here, and I pray, Lord, that you'll bless her. Lord, and we'll thank you for all these things. Lord, I just want to take my hands off of it. I want to give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. For make our prayer in Jesus' name. I know he's worthy. Amen. And you may be seated and everything. I was listening to a preacher preach in camp meeting, and I love camp meeting. Because in our camp meeting, we have, six or eight or ten preachers preach. So that means I'm not preaching all the time, and I can sit out there and get preached to. Amen. And the preacher will tell you, we need preaching too, and everything. And one preacher was preaching, and he was preaching on revival, so I was listening very intently and everything. And he made this statement. And I thought, boy, this is good. He said, and a young preacher had come up to him and said to him, "Preacher, what's the best way to have revival?" And boy, I immediately focused in, doubly focused on that and everything, and thought, man, I want to hear that response, you know. And here's what the preacher said. "When Jesus is enough, we will have revival." When Jesus is enough, we will have revival. Preacher, I don't know who said that. I've looked it up. I can't find out who the person was that said that. But I thought, and you know what, ladies and gentlemen, that's true. When Jesus, that's all you want is just Jesus, we can have revival. Amen. So pray that we'll get into that place today. I'm going to pick back up in verse number 7. The Bible said, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, durst ask women? How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritan. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And by the way, there's three mistakes in that verse. Now, there's not a mistake from the standpoint that that's what that woman said. That's what she said. But she made three false phrases, statements in that verse. And I may talk about that before the day's over. I don't know. But verse number 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Correctly read, that's verses 5 down through verse number 15. And I'd like to preach, Lord being my helper this morning, on what are you doing for lunch? What are you doing for lunch? Probably every family in here has discovered or discussed or at least thought about what you're having for lunch. Amen? I mean, I think about it on a regular basis, okay? Every day about 12 o'clock, I get to thinking, what am I going to eat, you know? And sometimes I go by and pick me up a quick burger. Sometimes I cook me a hot dog. Sometimes it's one thing. Sometimes it's another and everything. But we think about those things. You say, preacher, where in the world did you get that idea out of those verses that we read? Well, I'm going to show you where I got it, okay? In verse number 6, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, thou therefore being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Now, I realize there's three trains of thought about what the sixth hour is. It depends on which country's time reference that you're using, okay? I believe the sixth hour, and I believe, you know, it's the biblical way to look at it, is somewhere around lunchtime. 6 hours after daybreak. Now, I realize that's relative, and, it, you know, it's not exactly 12.00, okay? But I believe, and from what I've read and what I've studied, most scholars agree with that. And that's where I get the idea, what are you doing for lunch, okay? It was about lunchtime, okay? Now, just in case you don't agree with me, I understand that the sixth hour also can be the sixth after midday. And that would make it 6 o'clock at night, all right? And there's several reasons I don't think it's 6 o'clock at night. First of all, what are you doing going shopping at 6 o'clock at night? Now, in our day and time, we don't think anything about it, okay? I mean, we go to the store anytime we want to go to the store and we get what we want and everything. But back then, I wouldn't think that would be the best time to go shopping, okay? There's another thought, okay, that says it's the 6 hour after sunset. Now, that even makes less sense to me than 6 o'clock at night, okay? I mean, back in this day and time, and by the way, do I need to remind you that they're in Samaria? They're in Sychar, which is a town in Samaria, okay? And I don't think they would be in the town of Samaria. You see, the Jews didn't have a good opinion of the Samaritans, okay? In fact, the Jews looked at the Samaritans as dogs. They really did. They didn't have any respect for them at all. So I don't think it was midnight. I personally don't think it was 6 o'clock in the evening or supper time, okay? I think it was lunchtime. You say, preacher, I don't agree with you. Hey, that's okay. This is not something I'm going to draw lines with, okay? The important thing is not necessarily what the sixth hour was. We know it was the sixth hour. It was either noon, it was either supper time, or it was midnight. The important thing is what happened around the sixth hour, okay? So if you think it's supper time, then you just interject, what are you doing for supper time? If you think it's midnight, then you interject, what are you doing for your midnight snack? I don't know. That's not the important thing, okay? But really and truly, what are you doing for lunch? Probably several wives have said to their husband, either yesterday or today, what do you want for lunch tomorrow, okay? We're constantly talking about that. I want to ask you, what are you doing for lunch today, okay? The first thing I want to point out to you is the fact that Jesus, the Bible said in verse number 4, and I didn't read that, you can go back and read it if you want to, okay? Must needs go to Samaria. It was important he went through Samaria. It was important he went to the town of Sychar. It was important that he did. He only went to Samaria twice in his earthly ministry that we have a record of, okay? Now, he could have gone more, but we don't have a record of it, okay? And he went to Samaria, okay? Samaria, it's only mentioned two times in the Word of God here and in Luke 17:11, all right? And the Bible said when he got there, all right, in verse number 6, now Jacob well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. So, he was taking a lunch break, okay? He was tired, all right? And the Bible said that he walked up to the well, and when he walked up there, he sat down because he was weary. He was tired, okay? He said, whew, man, dogs is bothering me a little bit this day. And you see, he didn't have a taxi that he rode in. And by the way, he didn't have a chariot that he rode in. By the way, Jesus didn't own a horse, okay? Everywhere he went, he walked. And he was tired. But it was imperative, it was absolutely essential that he went through Sychar of Samaria, okay? And he was sitting there on the well that day, and he was resting a little bit and probably may have taken an extra breath or so and everything. It was one of those vacant minutes of his life. Nothing going on, nothing planned, nothing that he had to do at that time. Let me ask you something. How do you use your vacant minutes? And if God says to you on your lunch break, of all times, my lunch break, okay? But if God says to you on your lunch break, witness to that woman, or witness to that man, or witness to that boy or that girl, or whatever. What are you doing with your vacant minutes? Ladies and gentlemen, I propose to you this morning that we miss a lot of opportunities because we're sitting on the wall of the well and we're taking a few vacant minutes and we're just kind of relaxing. I mean, when you get home at night, and you're tired. You've had a busy day and everything. And you sit down and you're lazy boy and you crank that little arm up and everything and your foot thing comes up and you push the remote on the TV and the telephone rings. Okay, invariably. Hey, have you ever noticed that babies are not born at 10 o'clock in the morning? Amen? They're born at 2 o'clock in the morning. Okay, they're born in the middle of the night. They're born at the most inopportune times that you can think of. Right before our daughter had her baby and everything. We went down about a week, 10 days before she was due and everything. And I said to my wife, let's go down before the baby's born. That way we can go through all the congratulations and we're so proud of you and all that kind of stuff and everything. And we won't miss it. Okay, so we did. We went down and her husband and everything. We went out, got something to eat, spent the better part of the day with her and everything. But I didn't have to worry about getting up at 2 o'clock in the morning. See, she lives in Chattanooga, okay? And it's about a 3-hour drive from Winchester to Chattanooga. And I knew if she went to the hospital, I probably couldn't get there before the baby was born anyway. So I wanted to take care of everything ahead of time, okay? And I was probably in a vacant minute when the baby was born. I don't know. Don't remember what time. I know Grandpa's supposed to remember that stuff, but this one don't. So, have you ever noticed, preacher, I'm sure you've noticed, the ministry is not always at a convenient time. Car wrecks are not at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They're at 3 o'clock in the morning. Okay? And I've gotten that phone call, and I'm sure your preacher's gotten the telephone call. And they said, preacher, can you come? Can you pray? Preacher, what can we do? We got this problem, we got that problem, and everything. Let me ask you, how are you using your vacant minutes? You were just going to relax. You were just going to kick back and everything. But God had something for you to do, okay? It might just be that it was divine providence that you were able to be reached at that particular time. That person might just have been passing by. Might be the only time you'll ever talk to that person. It happens to me all the time. Most of the people I talk to about Jesus, I may never see them again. But I want to use my vacant minutes, okay? And we need to let God order our steps. God gave you that vacant minute sitting on the wall of the well. So when the lady from Sychar in Samaria, when she came by, okay, Jesus would have the time to talk to her. And he did. Amen? So, first of all, what are you doing for lunch today? I mean, I don't know what you're doing for lunch. You may be going home, putting your feet under your kitchen table. You may be going out and getting something. I don't know what you're doing, but what are you doing with your vacant minutes? You've kind of breathed out a little bit, and all of a sudden, you've got an opportunity to do something for God. Not only do we need to let God order our steps, okay? We need in our lives, regardless of what we think, to realize everybody has needs. Amen? That's why it's so important as a preacher that I follow the Holy Ghost of God. God knows what your needs are. Each and every one of you has needs. Okay? And we may not know what they are, we may know what they are. Okay? But we need to realize In one of our vacant minutes, somebody has a need. We see in verse number 6, and I've already talked about this, not going to spend a long time on, but he was weary. He was tired. We're getting a snapshot into the picture of Jesus' humanity right here, and he was tired. Okay? Verse number 7 says he was thirsty. All right? I told the preacher this morning, during Sunday school, I said, man, I've got cotton mouth bad, okay? And sometimes you get to talking and everything, and it just feels like a big old wad of cotton is growing in your mouth, okay? That's the way Jesus was. He was thirsty. He was weary, according to verse number 6, okay? And some of the needs that people have are physical. That's why I guess I love the food ministry so much. We never know when we're giving food away, what the need is in that family. I had a lady tell me, it's been 2 or 3 years ago now, she said, preacher, if you did not give us food, I don't know what we would do to sustain life. And when she said that, I had kind of shake myself. I would have never thought that they were food challenged, but she was. And some needs are physical, and that's why we have a physical food ministry. Okay, I go to a rehab 2 or 3 times a week. You say, did you go this week? Went once myself, and somebody else went for me on Saturday. Okay, but when I go to the rehab, I always take a pocket full of tracts. Amen. And I give them out. And I'll take a big old, maybe 10 or 12 or 14 of them. And right before they leave, I say, hey, have I given you one of these? And I start handing out tracts. Okay? They don't know what they are. Okay? But they'll take them. And then maybe the next time I start giving out tracts, had a fella Wednesday. I was giving them out. And he said, oh, you gave me one of those. I said, really? I said, that's great. What'd you think about it? And he said, well, I'm saved. I said, you sure? He said, yeah. I said, you read through that whole thing? He said, I did. I said, man, that's great. You know, he didn't come out there to get the word of God. He didn't come out there to get my tract. He didn't come out there to listen to some leather-lung preacher talk to him. But this leather-lung preacher got to talk to him. Amen. And everybody has needs, okay? Some of them, as Jesus was, they were weary. They were tired. You know, some of them, as Jesus was thirsty. Some of the needs are physical. Some of them are spiritual. But and for time's sake, I'm not going to do it. But if you'll read verses 7 through 15, you'll see that Jesus dealt with the physical to get to be able to deal with the spiritual. Amen. And sometimes you've got to meet a need in somebody's life to get their attention, for them to see that you really care. So what are you doing for lunch today? I mean, what are you doing? All right. First of all, let's let God order our steps, okay? God ordered Jesus' steps. The Bible said in verse number 4, he must needs go through Samaria. He had to go through there, okay? Second of all, we need to realize everybody has needs. Third of all, most folks think they are just too busy. You say, where do you get that? Thanks for asking. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 8. The Bible said, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. See, that doesn't say that. Oh, yeah, it does to me. Okay? Now, I'm not real smart. But, preacher, I've been to the grocery store a few times in my life, okay? I mean, I know where the bologna is. I know where the milk is, you know. I know where the ginger ale is. Why? Well, that's what my wife likes, okay? And I make as many brownie points as I can, okay? And everything. But I've been to the grocery store a whole bunch in my life, all right? And I'm convinced it don't take 12 people to go grocery shopping. Amen? Isn't that what it says? And the disciples were gone away to buy meat. 12 of them went to the grocery store. I realize it's Samaria. I realize they weren't real fond of the Samaritans and everything else. But I don't care where you are. It don't take 12 people to go grocery shopping. Amen? I'll give it to you. It takes one to push the buggy. I don't know whether they had a buggy. I don't know whether they had a cart. I don't know whether they had a basket. I don't know how they gathered up the groceries. Okay. But it takes one person to do that. Okay. And I'll give it to you. Maybe it takes a second person to pick out the particular things they're getting and put them in the buggy. Okay. I'll give you that. And I'll even give it to you that it may take a third person because a third person carried the money, okay? I mean, you got to pay. I'm not real smart, but I tell you what, I don't get groceries and try to walk out without paying for it. You got to pay for them, okay? So we got one pushing the cart. We got one to putting groceries in the cart, and we got one paying. I'll give you those three. But how about the other 9 of them? What were they doing? I'll tell you what they were doing. They were over the candy aisle eating Reese's peanut butter cups and chewing the fat about something, okay? And ladies and gentlemen, listen to, what are you doing for lunch today? Hey, listen to me. Sometimes we get to thinking we're just too busy. If you think you're just too busy, you're too stinking busy. Amen. We're never too busy to be around the King's business. Okay? But if we're not careful, we get thinking we're too busy. You ever realize that God may have had that person come by you and you're the only Bible he's going to hear that day? Hey, maybe you're the only Bible that he's ever going to hear in all his life. Every now and then I run across somebody that has never heard that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We've heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Now, it's not all the time. It's not even often. It's just on an occasion every now and then. Most folks have heard something about Jesus. Okay? But you need to make sure that when you're doing whatever you're doing, you're not too busy to talk about the Lord. And we see here in this, hey, they were in a bad place, Samaria. They weren't real friendly with him, okay? They weren't real friendly with the people in Sychar, the city there, okay? And it appears that nine of the disciples, okay, just thought they were too busy. All right, let me show you something in verse 28, same chapter. John chapter 4. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She went from getting her water. And that's pretty important, okay? I mean, I don't cook a whole lot. I cook a lot of iced tea. And you can't make iced tea without water, okay? And she'd come to get her daily portion of water. But when Jesus dealt with her and she got saved, all of a sudden her life wasn't too busy anymore. Okay? She began to go to everybody in the city and say, man, you got to meet this Jesus. He told me everything about me. He told me everything that ever I did. Okay? And we need to be careful that we don't think we're too busy. We need to be careful that we realize everybody has needs. We need to be careful that we let God order our steps. And we need to be careful. Verse number 9, the Bible says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it thou, being a Jew, durst ask, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritan. We need to make sure that discrimination, prejudice, and reverse discrimination doesn't get in the way. I don't care who they are, they need Jesus, okay? That's what's wrong with our political system. I'm not talking Republican, I'm not talking Democrat, I'm not talking Independent, okay? But the problem with our political system is, in America, that there's too much prejudice and discrimination and reverse discrimination. Not going into it, okay? You see it, I see it, we all see it, okay? And we just need to get past that, okay? They need to get saved, all right? That's the biggest need they've got. I don't care whether they're red or yellow, black or white. They need to get saved, okay? We all need to get saved, all right? And ladies and gentlemen, hey, what are you doing for lunch today? I mean, if somebody comes by, maybe you've got a prejudice in your heart and in your mind and in your life. You need to lay that aside. By the way, you don't need to have any prejudices, okay? There's a lot of things that a lot of people do that I disagree with. But I sure hope that I can take the time and talk to them about Jesus. That might just solve their what we think is a problem. They may not have a problem, but you may think they have a problem, okay? We need to make sure that discrimination, prejudice and reverse discrimination doesn't get in the way. We need to understand that we're not too busy. We need to understand, regardless of what we think, everybody has needs, okay? We need to understand if we let Him, God will order our steps. And let me just throw this out. Most folks don't even know what they need. Amen? Look in verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You know, when I got saved, I didn't know what God was doing. I mean, God was dealing with me in service after service. I'd sit back there and I'd hold on to the pew and everything. And I knew God was dealing with me, but I didn't know what it was. I thought I was saved. The preacher prayed a great prayer when I got saved, but I didn't pray. I wasn't saved. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I never called upon it. Amen. And finally, on August the 1st, 1976, I thought the thought. I didn't say it out loud. I thought the thought. God, if you need me in the altar, take me to the altar. Whatever it is you're dealing with me about, I want to take care of it. And a fellow on one side put his arm around me, fellow on the other side put his arm around me, and said, let's go to the altar. Now, we prayed about what they wanted to pray about. But when they got up and left, I said, okay, God, here I am. And I don't know what it is, but I told you to ask you to take me to the altar, and you brought me down here, and I ain't leaving until I get it settled. And he took me back to that day I got saved. And I remember Preacher Moore just as vivid as anything, talking to me about the Lord, giving me the plan of salvation, prayed the sinner's prayer, but I didn't pray. And I wouldn't say. And I said, oh God, that's what it is, isn't it? And peace struck a chord in my heart. And that morning I got saved. Third altar from the left-hand side, Shiloh Hills Baptist Church. On the back side of the altar, I got saved. Amen. I didn't even know what I needed. I didn't know why I went. Okay? But I knew God took me down there. Okay? And let me give you one other thought, and we'll move on, okay? Logic is usually not a good prerequisite. Look at verse 11 and verse number 12. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Okay? Logic is not a good prerequisite. He didn't have a bucket. Jesus didn't have a bucket to draw water with. He didn't have a rope. He didn't have a crank. She said that. Okay? There's nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. Okay? Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. Logic, most of the time, is not a good indicator of spiritual direction. Just because we don't think in our little pea brain that this just can't happen, this just can't work, this is just not what God wants me to do, we need to let God take over, okay, and not our logic. Some of the, and I use this terminology very loosely, but some of the folks that are the most lost that I know are the smartest that I know, but they got it all figured out. That's their stinking problem. They're using logic, okay? They think they're smart, and they probably forgot more about it than I'll ever know, okay? I understand that, okay? But we don't need to let logic be a prerequisite. We don't need to dismiss something because we don't think we have a need. We don't need to let discrimination, reverse discrimination, or prejudice get in the way. We sure don't need to have the thought that, well, I'm just too busy. Okay? We need to understand everybody has needs, and let God order our steps. What are you doing for lunch today? What are you doing? And I'm not bucking for lunch, okay? Don't get me wrong. But in your vacant times, in your casual times, will you let God use you? When the phone rings, somebody comes by, and everything. I from time to time, eat with somebody. He's a preacher friend of mine down in Kentucky. And when the waitress comes by, during the course of getting our drinks or whatever, he'll say to her, "Ma'am, sir, is there something we can pray for you about? We're going to have the blessing on the meal here in a minute. But is there something you need prayer about?" And I've watched God move time after time. And folks will almost break down and say, "Man, I'm going through this, or I'm going through that, or had this happen in my life, or had that happen in my life. Would you pray about that?" Why? Well, we're letting God use our vacant minutes. What are you doing for lunch today? What are you doing for lunch today? I may finish this tonight. I don't know. I've got about 6 or 8 more points and everything. But I want you to realize and understand we need to use our vacant minutes for the honor and glory of God. I go through the toll booth. I don't think there's anything any more rushed on the face of the earth than a toll booth. All they want is your $4.25, and they don't want to chit-chat. They don't want a gospel tract. They don't want anything. They just want your $4.25. And I always get a receipt, and I always try to give them a tract. Okay, why? Well, it's a fleeting minute, and I may never see those toll takers again. Probably won't. Okay, we came through 3 of them coming down here. And of those 3, I may never see them again. What are you doing for lunch? Hey, we had a lady before we left the meeting last week that fixed us some sub sandwiches to bring on the trip. Man, I appreciated that. I really did. I didn't even have to use my Chick-fil-A card and stop. And you know, the only thing I don't like about Chick-fil-A, it takes about a half hour to get one. Okay? I mean, you got to line up about 3 deep. And I didn't have to stop. Amen. I just said to Grandma, "Hey, Grandma, why don't you give me one of them sandwiches? Put me some Miracle Whip on it. Put me some mustard on it and everything." And down the road I went, eating my sub sandwich. But I had vacant minutes at the toll booth. And I talked to somebody about Jesus. What are you doing for lunch today? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.